In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. This Advent season, we've been considering the threefold office of Christ. How Christ has come as our prophet to teach us the way of truth. Christ has come as our priest, who offered himself as the once and for all sacrifice, making atonement for our transgressions and reconciling us to God our Father. Tonight we consider that third office, Christ the King. And this is, we might say, the most appropriate of the threefold office for the season of Advent and Christmas. Throughout this time of the church year, we hear again and again the good news that Christ is our King. We started out this season with the prophecy of Zechariah, fulfilled on that first Palm Sunday. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your King is coming to you. Righteous and having salvation is he. In a week's time, we will hear this blessed prophecy of Isaiah. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. We'll also hear the prophecy of Micah, fulfilled in the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ, as told to King Herod when the wise men sought him. And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. And of course, there are the words of the angel Gabriel, spoke to Mary, the mother of God, and said, behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. It's even during the season of Advent that we often hear that marvelous Messiah by Handel. And the Hallelujah Chorus, which includes these words from the book of Revelation, the kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. There's no getting around the truth that Christ is King in the season of Advent and Christmas, at least from what we hear. What we see seems to tell a different story. It's hard to see the reign of Jesus in our world today. It's hard to perceive that Christ is actually King over all things. We hear of senseless violence taking place all around the world, and even in our own nation and community. Innocent people being killed for no reason whatsoever. We hear of people delighting in their wickedness, in their sins, promoting what ought not even be mentioned. We see sinners brazen in their arrogance and their pride, pushing well beyond the boundaries of what God has established, transgressing his law and commandments. We feel our own hurts, our own sorrows, our own suffering. We know how death overshadows us. And in such a world, we may wonder how, in fact, Christ can be King, how Christ does reign. It sure doesn't seem like it sometimes. In fact, sometimes it looks like the devil is the one in charge. But remember what Jesus told Pontius Pilate. We heard this very night. My kingdom is not of this world. And therefore the reign of Christ does not look like every other reign, because his is not an earthly reign like all the rest. His is a divine and heavenly reign. His kingdom does not bear the marks of all earthly kingdoms. He is a king, as prophesied by Zechariah, who does not come in pomp and pride but rather in humility, mounted on a donkey and on a colt, the foal of a donkey. He comes not as the prince who conquers by might, through force of arms extends his kingdom, but rather as the prince of peace. He doesn't come to rule over his people with an iron fist, but rather he comes to shepherd his people. And thus we heard again tonight that his crown was a crown of thorns. He was hailed as king in mockery. When presented before his people with the words, "Behold your king," they responded, "Crucify him." He was stripped of the purple robe, and his garments were his own blood, and he took his throne upon the cross. Hardly a kingdom of this world. And yet his is an everlasting kingdom. His kingdom shall have no end. Christ is king. He is King of kings and Lord of lords, King of all the universe. He is king as true God, begotten of the Father from eternity, and also as true man, born of the Virgin Mary. He is king not in absentia, but truly present everywhere, reigning over all things. Scripture testifies to this truth. It is prophesied of old. Daniel saw in the night visions the one who came like a son of man, who came to the Ancient of Days and was presented before him. And to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom that all peoples and nations and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom is one that shall not be destroyed. Christ our dear Lord testifies to this in the Gospel of Matthew when he declares, "All things have been handed over to me by my Father," and it is, of course, proven in his resurrection from the grave and his glorious ascension into heaven when he says, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." Christ is king, and there is nothing outside of his royal authority. In fact, just as we recognize a threefold office of Christ, we also recognize a threefold kingdom of Christ. In his kingdom of power, Christ rules and reigns over all creation by his omnipotence, that is, his almighty strength. There is nothing outside of his authority in this kingdom of power. Even unbelievers, fallen angels, and the devil himself must submit to Christ. As it is testified in Psalm 8, Christ has all things put under his feet. All sheep and oxen, all beasts of the field, birds of the heaven, fish of the sea, all the creatures are under Christ. He rules over his very enemies, not just the unbelievers and the wicked who rebel against him, but even the devil and the demons must submit to Christ, who reigns in his kingdom of power. And this ought to be a great comfort to us Christians, to know that all things, both physical things and spiritual things, must submit to Christ. The sun shines because Christ declares it to be so. The stars twinkle at night because Christ commands it. Air, fire, and water exist and serve because Christ demands it. The devil is only given so far to attack on his leash before Christ pulls him back. Evil can only go so far before the will of Christ puts a stop to it. All things submit to Christ, whether they like it or not, in this kingdom of power. But Christ rules over all things for the good of us, we who love him. We who have been called according to his purpose. We who have been declared his very people. Who are citizens of his kingdom of grace. That is the church on earth. Again, at his ascension, Christ said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." And what does he will to do with that authority? He sends forth the gospel. He sends forth the means of grace. Make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. Christ is King, and with his almighty power, with his all-extending authority, he sends forth the gospel and the sacraments for the salvation of sinners. In this kingdom, he gives you his righteousness, innocence, and blessedness. In this kingdom, he protects and preserves you in the one true faith. In this kingdom, he pours out upon you gift upon gift, grace upon grace. In this kingdom dwell those who believe in Christ, and only those who believe in Christ, only those who are justified by faith are part of this kingdom. And yet Christ wills to extend it to all, insofar as he wills all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. And thus he declares that the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The devil cannot stop Christ's kingdom from coming. Gates of hell are powerless to prevent Christ from reigning. And in good time, he will transfer us from this kingdom of grace on earth to his kingdom of glory in heaven. In that kingdom of glory, in which the angels and the archangels and all the company of heaven dwell, Christ makes his people partakers of his unveiled glory. They see him face to face and rejoice. And someday that kingdom will come to earth. On the last day, in the end, he will establish his kingdom of glory forevermore. As St. Paul writes, "Then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father after destroying every rule and every authority and every power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet." Again, it may not look like Christ is king now to our fleshly eyes, but someday we will see him with our own eyes. We will see him coming with the clouds in power and great glory. We will see his kingdom of glory established forevermore. Until then, we know that Christ rules through faith and faith alone. We do not see his glorious reign right now, not in the kingdom of power. At present, we do not see everything in subjection to him, nor the kingdom of grace with our eyes. It's true, we can identify where the church is found through the preaching of the gospel and the administration of the sacraments, and yet citizens of the kingdom of grace are known because the Holy Spirit works in their hearts, creating and sustaining faith. And so Jesus tells the Pharisees, "The kingdom of God is not coming in ways that can be observed, nor will they say, 'Look, here it is,' or 'There it is,' for behold, the kingdom of God is in the midst of you." And of course, the kingdom of glory is not yet revealed, but it shall be, and we look forward to its coming. Now we see in a mirror dimly, but then we will see face to face. Now we know in part, then we shall know fully, even as we are fully known, because our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, will transform our lowly bodies to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. As citizens of Christ's kingdom, we look forward to that day with hope, confessing boldly and confidently, "Christ is King, yesterday, today, and forever." By faith, we know it to be true. Someday, we will know it to be true by sight. And on that glorious day, we will join in the song of the angels and the archangels and all the company of heaven, evermore praising and lauding his glorious name, singing, "Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. He shall reign forever and ever, King of kings and Lord of lords. Hallelujah." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.